You're listening to Radio Free Nashville on the net at www.radiofreenashville.org and on the air at 107.1 FM, Pasco, Tennessee.
Well, let me ask you this. You talk about a cube, and you use it for brainstorming. Is this like a pool cube or an ice cube? Or
yeah. No, everybody's heard the expression, think outside the box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so and people are working in boxes and cubicles. How can they do that?
Right. So the cube is actually a box. I thought, what is this box that everybody talks about thinking outside of? Well, a box, a cube, has six sides. So I came up with the six sides of the cube, the six aspects for group brainstorming that really will help teams unleash their creativity.
That sounds like a very good idea, because many of the brainstorming sessions I've been in, people come up with a bunch of ideas, but they don't seem to go anywhere.
Right. Yes. So, yeah, we've all been in brainstorming sessions, and they're, you know, usually we're just sitting in a meeting, right? And all of a sudden the boss says, hey, people, we need some new ideas. And that's it. And that's really as far as it goes. And, you know, about 5 minutes later, everybody's thinking to themselves, can we brainstorm some ideas to end this meeting?
Yeah, right? But that doesn't work either, does it?
No, because usually the boss wants to keep on going.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's just a lack of understanding about how brainstorming really works. A lot of people have heard of Alex Osborne and his famous four rules for brainstorming, right? We want to get lots of ideas, and the big one is don't criticize everybody's ideas, and then try to get some wild and crazy ideas, and then the last one, take other people's ideas and try to build upon them, combine them with new ideas. And what's interesting is that it's been proven through research that those rules that Alex Osborne developed don't help groups brainstorm any better.
How come?
You actually get more and better ideas by brainstorming alone than you do in a group.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's take a look at some brainstorming that I've been trying to do for quite a bit of time. I've got your handout right here.
All right.
I can shake paper like the best of them on radio. The purpose of this program is not to promote this book I wrote. I wrote a novel. I'm not going to tell you the name of it. And I'll tell you a little bit about it so that you'll have some idea what I'm trying to brainstorm.
Okay.
This novel goes back into the 1970s where I went to college. And I went to school in an Illinois university. And what happened is that I decided to write a novel about somebody about my age who has messed up his life in the 20th century, is on his way to messing it up in the 21st century, and through a strange series of events, he's thrown back into the 1970s, where he's going back to the same college he was going to, and then he could start all over again. And I wrote this novel, and it was published, self-published, in 2011. I did get some help from the local media, television and radio, and it was sold in a couple of bookstores, but I got virtually no help from the university, and that is that there are something like 200,000 graduates still around from this school, but the university didn't help me very much, so the novel pretty much faded out as far as sales. What I want to do is light a fire under the sales and get it started over again. And so,
okay.
So I filled out your better brainstorming using the Creativity Cube Challenge.
Okay.
And what I wrote down, you had, in what ways might we ... So I filled it in. Sell
okay.
more copies of my novel and use this book to make paid public appearances.
Okay.
And then
that's
you
a good challenge.
Yeah, yeah. And it's pretty basic, and it's from, you know, with the brainstorming, it's from the head honcho, since I'm the one who wrote the book and I'm marketing it.
Right.
And then the constraints, all I could think of were resources, lack of a large marketing budget, university not helping promote the book, as I mentioned, and it's self-published.
Okay. Well, let's take your challenge. Your challenge, there's some aspects to it, to every good challenge, right? It has to be legitimate. You need to solve it. It has to be authoritative. You are definitely the authority in marketing and selling your book, and it has to be personal, and you definitely have a personal connection to it.
Mm-hmm.
So your challenge, starting out with In What Ways Might We, is a good challenge. Sell more copies of my novel and use this book to make paid public appearances. I'm going to, for the sake of this session, let's break your challenge in half and talk about in what ways might we sell more copies.
That sounds like a really nice challenge.
Okay, it does. That's a great challenge. It's very doable. Let's talk about your constraints. Every challenge has constraints, right? Nobody has an unlimited amount of money or time or knowledge. So let's talk about your constraints. The first one that you have is lack of a large marketing budget. Can we get specific? What is your marketing budget?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. I just started Social Security. I work on the weekends at a black ops operation. WRFN doesn't pay. This is a community radio station. So okay. My marketing budget is well below $1 million a month.
Oh, okay. So would you want to say that your marketing budget is
$200? Oh, I don't know. I would say I could probably, at the best of times, squeeze out $400.
Okay, so we'll say $400 is your budget.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to ask a question. In what time frame do you want to sell more copies? Are you talking about in the next 30 years or like tomorrow?
Well, here's the thing. I have no conception of that, meaning okay. I would like to sell these more copies, but I would think that I would need to put an arbitrary time on this because I have no clear-cut thinking as to what's reasonable.
Okay. I think it's very important whenever we do a challenge, if there is any kind of a time constraint, that we think through it, because we're going to utilize something here in a moment called challenge and constraint busters, and these are tools that are going to help us generate better ideas. So I'm just going to pick an arbitrary number. We're just going to say 30 days. You want to sell more copies of your book in the next month.
That's quite reasonable.
Okay. All right. So normally, brainstorming is a group effort. So you would have, 5-8 people in a room brainstorming about something. And that obviously isn't really going to happen with just you and I. So you and I are going to brainstorm ourselves. And a lot of times, brainstorming ends up being a lot of quiet time. People throw out ideas, and there's 10 seconds of silence, and somebody throws out another idea, and then immediately there's another one, and then there's 3 minutes of silence. We don't want to have silence on the radio, obviously. So,
but we'd be playing too many commercials.
Yeah, we're going to brainstorm really quickly.
Okay.
Only using the challenge. How might you sell more copies of your novel? So I just want to think of. Let's think of really quickly. Five ideas, five ways that you might sell more copies of your novel. Okay, I'm going to think of one. You could sell them door to door.
Okay. I could go back to the university and try to get some speaking time, or go to the latest homecoming, which would be in the fall, and try to sell them there.
Good. Okay, good. All right, and then I'm going to say that you could get a box of them, and you could go stand in front of Barnes & Noble and try to sell them in front of Barnes & Noble.
Whoa, that's an idea. Might get me arrested, but that's a good idea.
Yeah. Now, we are, obviously, we're only really talking about two of the six sides here, but we are really looking for, again, Osborne's rules, especially the part about no criticism and wild and crazy, aren't bad rules. They just didn't really set the teams or set people up for successful brainstorming, because they don't tell you to make a good challenge, and you've made a good challenge, and they don't talk about what kind of constraints are there, and constraints is where creativity really, really comes from.
Constraints. So, now, explain that in reference to what we were just talking about.
Okay. Can I give you an example?
Yeah, go ahead. Or maybe can you give me an example relative to this book that we were talking about?
Sure. Let's see. Yeah. So, since if you were to tell me that, how can I sell more copies of this novel, knowing that I have $1 million to spend? That's a constraint that is far different than knowing that I have a dollar to spend.
Right, right.
And so it is actually constraints that give us creativity. It's probably easiest if I use a different example to illustrate it. If I ask you to tell me a story, to make up a story, you don't really know where to go.
No.
If I ask you to make up a story and give you a scene or a setting, like, you know, it's in an old abandoned house, or I tell you, I want you to make up a horror story, or I want you to make up a funny story, now you've got a little bit of something to play with. You can actually have a starting place, and it's easier actually to have creative ideas if we have that little bit of a constraint.
Well, you know what? Some of the great novelists, like Mark Twain, used people who actually lived as characters.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's very, very important. When I started this radio program, I didn't have any idea what I was going to do because there was no format at all until I made it, and it was very difficult to do. So I understand what you're talking about.
So we're going to take some of these constraints. Now that we've have brainstormed a few ideas just based on your challenge and what ways might we sell more copies of my novel, we have two really easy constraints that we can bust. We have a $400 budget, and we have 30 days. So we're going to use a tool called Scamper. It's one of my favorite tools. It's an acronym, and the S stands for substitute, the C for combine, and then adapt. And then really the one we're going to use, the M, is maximize or minimize. And then put to another use is the P, eliminate is the E, and then R stands for reverse. So I am going to utilize the maximize, minimize, and reverse with your two constraints and see if that sparks some different ideas.
Okay.
So let's reverse your budget. Instead of a budget is basically how much we can spend.
Mm-hmm.
So let's reverse that. Do we spark any different ideas if we say, in what ways may I sell more copies of my novel and people pay me to sell my novel?
Well, yes, that's a totally different way of looking at it.
Right.
And it's a way that I never even considered, to be honest with you.
So can we think of, if people are going to pay you to sell your novel, what different ideas could we have now?
Well, theoretically, I could get on a commercial radio station and advertise my novel on a program I run without, I would be paid for being on the air, and I wouldn't be paying for advertising time.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Maybe you could use, so here's another one, affiliate marketing. You pay, somebody else sells your book for you on their website or through their radio program, and then as they sell the novel, they pocket some of the money and they pay you some portion of the money that they have sold the novel for.
That's
so
like
you now.
That's like radio syndication, yeah.
So affiliate marketing. So there, we've just come up with two different ideas because we took your constraint of $400 and we reversed it.
Okay, I'm beginning to understand this. If you have a wide open field with something, you really can't be very creative. The restraints are what make you think around the problem to figure
Absolutely.
Out solutions.
That's
wow.
exactly right.
That's
yep.
Craig. We're listening to Craig Paxson of New Salem Consulting, and Craig is talking about creativity and brainstorming, and we're doing some right now about a book I wrote back in 2011. Okay, so we did look at this in a totally different way. What else can you add to it?
So let's stay with your $400 budget.
Okay.
And let's minimize that. Let's say you had $4 to spend, and that's all you had to spend. Now how might you market your book if you only had $4 to spend?
I could market it on Facebook.
Okay, Facebook. So you could do Facebook posts. That's good. You probably have unlimited minutes on your phone, so you could call every single number in the phone book.
Oh, that's an idea.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
let's see. If you only have $4 to spend, how else can you market your book?
Oh, man, that's hard.
It is hard, but what we're doing is we're stimulating a different part of our creative brain.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't have any money. How can I do this? Now, this comes back, if we're really in a brainstorming session, you and I doing this,
we would pause.
Probably set a timer for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We would brainstorm this for 5 minutes, and it might take us 2 minutes to think of our very first idea, and then after that, as we did it more and more, the ideas would come faster and faster.
Oh.
We don't want to wait 2 minutes, obviously, on air for our first idea to come. But that's the idea. We're sparking different ideas. We've already got two of them. You've said Facebook posts, which are free, and call everybody on the phone. That's free.
You can
spend less than $4 right there.
Wow. And I could sneak it on the air here, but I'd have to be careful the way I do it.
There you go. That's the third idea. Now let's take your time constraint. We said 30 days. We want to sell copies in 30 days.
Yeah.
Okay, what about if we had, I'm going to maximize this constraint. What about if we had 365 days? What about if we had a year? What different ideas could you do to sell this thing in a year than what you could do in 30 days?
Well, pretty much what I'm doing now, I've got a website, and I'm going to be changing the website around, maybe getting some email subscriptions to it, and cross-advertising on my broadcast website, robertrickman.net.
Okay.
And my novel website, and using social media. I'm working on that right now, Twitter and Instagram, and I'm taking courses to actually learn how to use this stuff more efficiently.
So I look at this in a year, and I say probably in the next calendar year, there's going to be some book festivals or...
Oh, yeah.
Right? Maybe there's conferences... think like you said, homecoming, that's not in the next 30 days.
No.
So maybe there's events over the course of the next 365 days that could be utilized.
Wow, that's good.
You wouldn't think about if we said 30 days.
You're right.
Now,
yeah, see, you know, the funny thing is, I consider myself a creative person, but what you've done, the way we've been thinking is the ideas have come that I never even considered, and it must be your technique of doing this.
It definitely, you know, I can't claim that I've invented all this stuff. I have taken the work, as Newton said, we stand on the shoulders of giants. I have taken the work of several dozen creativity authors and just combined it all together into a framework that is really easy to apply.
Mm-hmm.
And this stuff works. There is scientific, academic research behind a lot of this that says that it works. And I am making a framework that we can apply to solve these kinds of problems. And it's really exciting to see that already we've come up with some different ideas that you wouldn't have considered.
Yes, yes. Now you've got a master's degree, don't you?
I have I have two master's degrees. I'm too far educated, I think. You know what they say, that you know the more you go to school, the less you learn, or the more you learn about less and less until you finally know everything about nothing.
I only got a bachelor's and I qualify for that already. Well, did your master's program help you with this?
You know, my first master's degree is in quality assurance, and I began to go into process improvement work. And I still do that. That's still a lot of my consulting business is process improvement.
I've seen that on your website.
Yeah, and part of process improvement is coming up with ideas, you know, new ideas that can help you make things better. And so I began to investigate creativity. I started with a book by an author called Edward de Bono, Serious Creativity. It's currently out of print, but there's a lot of his books which are in print.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first foray into the world of creativity, and it just floored me because I always thought before creativity was painting and music and art, and it was for, you know, artsy-fartsy people. And even now, I kind of get floored because I see a lot of posts in the social media about being creative, and it's things like, you know, take a walk and drive a different way to work. And,
sniff a flower.
I say to myself, that may help you be a little bit different, but these, we have specific tools we can use. If we can have a methodology that we can follow to make us creative, that is so much better than just saying, well, take a walk and maybe an idea will come to you. I've taken a lot of walks, and sometimes I have a good idea, but usually when I have a good idea on a walk, it's because I've already been applying some other principles to thinking about it, and the walk is kind of like my subconscious is finally coming to life while I'm walking. So, you know, a lot of it is about having a method, and these methods that I've put into the Creativity Cube really help drive creative thinking.
Now,
I'd like to use another tool.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, so we've been doing constraint busters. When we took the method of the marketing budget of $400 and we took your 30-day time frame and we busted the constraints, I want to bust your challenge. This is a different aspect of busting your challenge.
Bust the challenge.
What I want to do is I want to get...
Okay, wait a minute. The challenge... Oh, let me go back to my piece of paper here. All right, now, the challenge I had was selling more books, sell more copies of my novel, and use this book to make paid public appearances. Now, how do we bust that?
So, let's take, and I want to make this challenge less specific.
Okay.
So, we're brainstorming about in what ways might we sell more copies of my novel. So, let's make this challenge less specific. In what ways might I... This might be a little bit hard to make this challenge less specific now that I think about it. In what ways might I need more copies to print?
Okay,
that's less specific, right? Because now we're talking about not just selling it; we're talking about any way that I need more copies in print.
Okay.
Ways might I do some stuff where I need more copies in print? Well, immediately all of a sudden I am just thinking I can give my book away.
Okay, I've done that, but I still have about 80 copies left to give away. I could continue to do that and give it to libraries. I haven't even given it to the local library.
Oh, that's a great idea. So what other ways might we need more copies to print? Maybe we could give copies away through a Facebook drawing.
Ooh, that's an idea.
Right? What other ways could we need more copies to print? That is a great challenge. Again, if we had 5 minutes, we would probably end up with some really good ideas. But what we're working, I hadn't thought about giving your book away until I said more copies to print. And then I'm like, well, immediately give some copies away. So we sparked a creative idea in my brain just by changing the level of abstraction.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can see what you're getting at now, and it seems like it's far more effective than let's brainstorm and with no real so-called tools to use.
Right, exactly. Yes. One of my favorite tools that I'm kind of struggling to apply to this is called morphological analysis. That's a really big word. And basically what it means is we're going to break the challenge apart into its constituent parts, and we're going to brainstorm on each of those parts. I use a good example of in what ways might we grocery shop. Well, what are the component parts about grocery shopping? Well, you have you got to get to the grocery store, and then you got to carry your groceries home. So how could we get to the grocery store? We can walk, take a car, take a helicopter. How can we carry the groceries home? Well, we could carry them in our arms or in our backpacks, or we could borrow a shopping cart from the grocery store to wheel the groceries home in.
And not return it.
And hopefully return. Yes,
I'm joking.
We're just borrowing.
Okay, we could use a wagon, a little red wagon like kids used to use in the old days.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that's a great example because it's easy to understand the component parts. So what are the component parts about sell more copies of my novel? So I look at the component parts being sales or selling,
mm-hmm.
and a novel. So let's think about this from instead of a novel, if we think about the word novel, what are other things that people sell that are not a novel?
Apples, cars.
Okay, tires,
commercials.
Essential oils. My whole neighborhood's into these essential oil parties.
Probably smells nice there in your neighborhood.
It very much so. So now I've just sparked a different idea. If I was to say, in what ways might I sell more essential oils, well, how do people sell these things? How do we sell? This is probably more, instead of essential oils, kind of the same idea. In what ways might I sell more Tupperware?
Well, you have parties.
Parties.
Yeah.
Can you have a book party?
That's a possibility if I can get enough people interested.
Right. See, so there's a different idea that we sparked by taking the component parts of your challenge and breaking them down and thinking about them differently.
Okay. Okay.
So again, if we had 5 minutes, we would just continue on with 5 minutes of brainstorming about this particular when we change your challenge. We don't want to have 5 minutes of, you know, dead air. But that's another idea of how we can do this. If we take sell and we what are other things that people do with books? Well, see, we burn books, right?
And it would make a nice fire, but it's not really what I'd like to see my book do.
What are other things that people do with books?
Well,
we lend books.
We wedge things up with books.
Okay, awesome. Okay.
Yes, we lend books.
Let's just take that one, right? Maybe, you know, we use books to raise things higher.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's take this. In what ways might we use your book to raise things higher?
I don't know what we're talking about. Raise the knowledge of what happened in the 1970s to a higher level among, say, millennials.
Oh, excellent. So now you just created a different challenge. In what ways might we raise the awareness about the 1970s to the current generation?
Well, you could use the usual. They're into Twitter. And Instagram, I hear Instagram is the big deal for them.
So so we have that different challenge may now spark some even more different ideas about selling your book. If we can raise the awareness of the current generation about the 1970s, maybe that will spark them to want to buy your book.
Wow.
So again, we would brainstorm for 5 minutes about that, but we have just... We have taken and we put a brand new spin on your challenge.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm busy with the equipment right now and being on the air. I always play back the recordings of these programs. I'm going to play it back, and I'm going to have a notepad, and I'm going to copy some of this stuff down.
Good.
Because I think it's important. Now we're starting to run out of time. Do you have any final words about that, about specifically brainstorming and what we did just in the last few minutes?
So we've gone through three or four tools, Scamper and changing the level of abstraction, morphological analysis. There are dozens of tools. One of the tools that I love to use that we won't go through right now, but I'm just going to throw it out there, is take a random word or a random object and see how it connects to your challenge.
I've seen those exercises before. That sounds like it's very, it would be very effective in getting out solid ideas.
Yes. I love using random words. Just throw them into a challenge and see how it affects the challenge, see how it affects the brainstorming. In what ways might we sell more copies of my novel? And we throw a random word in there like football and see what kind of new ideas that it sparks about if we force a connection between selling books and footballs.
Wow.
You know, maybe we're throwing books off of, in a stadium somewhere. So anyway, that's just another good tool that you can use by yourself, but there's literally dozens of these tools. And I love, all of them have different applications at different points of time. But we can use a lot of tool. It's not just about, well, hey, everybody, we need some new ideas. No, let's apply a tool. Come up with a good challenge. In what ways might we figure out what are the constraints, because nobody has unlimited time, money, and resources? And then bust those challenges and bust those constraints using the tools that I have to really generate lots of great ideas. If anybody wants to get more information about this, they can visit my brainstorming website, which is at brainstorm.coach. There's a couple of videos which explain this in a lot greater detail, and then you can sign up to download some forms, and hopefully people will go there, learn some more about this, and get better ideas.
Okay, Craig, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.